And let us turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to hear this, Lord willing, in our Christmas program. So I wanted to look at Luke chapter 2 as we consider the birth of our Savior. We'll look at the first 20 verses. So let us hear together the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are reminded of the Christmas story, I am reminded as well of what John tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." As we consider what this baby came into this world to do, we are reminded that he came in the lowest of situations. We have mythologized, we have romanticized the story so much that we miss the starkness, the lowliness of what is going on here. And we need to stand in awe of that fact. That God, who, if we read the places in the Bible where we have descriptions of the glory of the heaven and of God's throne room, Jesus sits in that glory, came down into this world. But he didn't come into a king's palace. He did not come with great earthly fanfare. He was born of a virgin, in a field, laid in a manger. And this birth of our Savior demonstrates what he came into this world to do. He came not to be glorified by man. He came to give his life in the most humble way, to be nailed to a cross. He came here to live a hard life. The Heidelberg Catechism gets it correct when it says that Christ's suffering of hell was not just in his death, but was all his time on this earth. He suffered He did this on purpose. As he tells us on the way, being arrested, to the disciples, he says, "Do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels?" He went to that cross cheerfully, willingly. He loved us from that cross. We see that throughout the ways in which he reacted to those situations that came up while he's hanging in the most excruciating pain physically. Christ came to this world to save, to give his life. He loved the world. He loved us. We so easily as human beings work on the "I gotta try harder" way of thinking that we're Christians. I gotta do better. But brothers and sisters, trying harder doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. Jesus came to this world. Jesus' death paid in full everything that we need pay. Our reaction then is living lives of thanksgiving and of obedience. But brothers and sisters, we so often get it upside down and backwards. Jesus came to this world to be humiliated. As a part of his humiliation, to give his life for us. And we see that in his birth. And so our Savior was born in the most humble of circumstances, yet his birth is celebrated by heaven and earth. That's the theme that we want to see here. And in verses 1 through 12, we see the Son of Man of humble birth. In verses 13 through 20, we see that heaven and earth celebrate the birth of the Savior. So let's look at God's Word. We begin, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." The Son of God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, even in the womb of his mother, is obeying the decrees of a foreign king in a broken world. Jesus came to be a man under authority, he who has all authority. The decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Israel was under a foreign authority who was calling the shots. Now Israel wanted to govern themselves. Any earthly people does. They thought of themselves as God's people. And so this was a demonstration of the brokenness of their world. And then we have, this was first under Quirinius, while Quirinius was governing Syria. The Jews hated their foreign leaders and rulers, and yet they were sent, each one to their hometown, to their own home city, and they had to be obedient. You think about that. Put yourself in their positions, under duress, under the authority of someone outside telling them what to do and where to go, and to travel long distances from one end of Israel to the other is where Joseph and Mary traveled. And there he was to be registered with his betrothed wife, Mary, who was with child. He had to drag his poor pregnant wife across Israel. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. Not only is she a long way from home, but now it is time to have this child. And yet, where are they? The Christmas carols romanticize this. There's no stable mentioned in the Bible. They're in a field under the stars. "And there she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger." The miracle of God bringing his son into this world. Of course, we know that the conception happened earlier. Luke 1:35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God.'" And now the Son of God is born. And the coming Christ is announced to the least likely people. There were in that same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. The Bible moves its focus from the baby born in Bethlehem to shepherds in the fields. Whom did Jesus come to save? He came to save the common people who believe in him. He was not born in a king's castle. His birth announcement was not to earthly important people. Certainly, yes, the star was seen by the wise men in the east, probably in Babylon. But that was because they were observant, not because it was there only for them. Anyone could have seen. And we saw this a couple of weeks ago, Matthew 9:13. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Jesus said. Jesus came to save sinners. To save the meek, the lowly. So we have these shepherds. Now remember, there are no artificial lights. There's no light pollution. They're sitting in the middle of another field, watching flocks. Now maybe there was a bright star overhead, but really, by the way, that's actually notably later that the wise men arrive, around the time Jesus came back from Egypt, so not certain there. Again, we get this all compressed. But then, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Suddenly, a bright light in this dark night. And the angel of the Lord stood before them. We don't know in what exact form. In fact, we're told in a little bit that a great number of the heavenly hosts then later came. So what would be our response? Shock, fear, awe. Remember, this is dark in the middle of the night. Especially at the heavenly beings standing before them. Which, by the way, angels are not just human beings with wings. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." Those first words, "Do not be afraid." God knows our fears, and God has the answer to them. What does he say? Why? "I bring you good tidings of great joy." This was not a problem. This is a joyful meeting. And the angel brings good news for them and for us. Good tidings of great joy. Good tidings is good news of great joy. Not just good news, but news which carries with it great joy, which will be to all people. This news is not just for them, not just for Mary and Joseph, but is for you and I today. "For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I want to unpack these words. There is born. How did the Savior get here? He was born, again, humble. He didn't just appear. He went through the processes of life because he had to. And notice those next words. "There is born to you." Now Mary might say, "This is my baby." But God, by his angels, is correcting that misconception. This baby is not just her baby. This baby came. The Savior came for you and me. For everyone who will believe. So we have to realize this is not just for us. The shepherds realized that. What was their reaction? They told everyone after they saw it. And this ought to be our reaction as well. Now there are all sorts of people celebrating Christmas all around us today, but I have been just struck this year by how many people celebrate with an absolute lack of understanding of what's really going on. What is really going on in the Son of God come into this world? That Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And there is a message that they need. And this is why we need to spend time figuring out how to bring people the gospel in truth. So there is born to you in the city of David. Where is this? In Bethlehem. Now, children from a very young age in Jewish culture were taught what was going on. Especially young men, but also young women. Think of what Mary knew to be able to write the Magnificat, which we read earlier in Luke, that she spoke. And so these young men, when someone says, in the city of David, their minds would go and remember the prophecies concerning Bethlehem. And Bethlehem Ephrathah is not the least in the city of in the cities of Israel. And out of her would come the Savior. And so when you say the city of David, a Savior, this would bring to their mind the Old Testament and should bring to ours the promises of the Savior, the greater than Moses, the awesome God. And brothers and sisters, we all need to realize how much we need a Savior. We so easily think we're good, we're okay, I'm just fine, right? We need to be reminded of our sins, that if we have sinned once, if we have not lived up to the requirements of God once, we deserve final judgment. And every one of us has sinned again and again and again. And so this message was brought to the shepherds, a Savior who is Christ. Again, further reference to the Old Testament. Christ is the New Testament word, is the Greek word. Messiah is the Old Testament Hebrew word. And these Jews would immediately translate. In fact, many of them knew Greek more than they knew Hebrew. And so they could immediately translate, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Savior has come. Who is Christ the Lord. Now, at the time of Christ, the people had the idea that Jesus was going to be an earthly king. But this was not the truth. Jesus came to be the final ruler over all things. Christ, the Lord. Lord means ruler, master, authority. Jesus came to set up His kingdom. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom or Your kingdom come, we seek the kingdom of God, not an earthly kingdom, not our own kingdom, but God's kingdom. And then we have the way in which they could identify this child. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. How do we know that we have found the right baby? Notice the point here is that there could be some confusion. Jesus did not have some mark on him that made him obviously the Savior. He looked like any other baby. Now the hymn writers have tried to make clear to us that Jesus was special. We read about no crying he makes in one, or that silent night all is calm in another. Now having a baby is not a quiet thing. It's not a calm situation if any of you have attended or had them. And many others have interesting statements. And the Christmas carols are amazing. We had a great time listening and singing the Christmas carols on Christmas Eve. And we are reminded that they sought to, by their direction, express what's going on in the birth of the Son of God who came to this world to save sinners. But we need to understand as well from any uninformed perspective, he looked like any other baby. In fact, Isaiah says that we would be astonished at him. His visage was marred. His face was marred more than any man. His form was more than the sons of men marred. He came to this world. He came a baby. He went through all of the childhood. In fact, certainly would have been far more misunderstood than any one of us. Because he was perfect. And what do we have? What is the reaction? Heaven and earth celebrate the birth of the Savior. The heavenly hosts celebrate the coming of salvation. Suddenly with this angel was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, what? What were the angels saying? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. The angels rejoice in the coming of salvation, not because angels are saved by it, but because of the glory of the God who saves sinners. Reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, verse 10 talks about the prophets that inquired and searched. Then we read in verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering things which now have been reported to you, those things to and through those who have preached to you the gospel by the Spirit, Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things angels desire to look into. The angels wanted to know what was going on. The angels wanted to celebrate. Notice that there was with the angel, as I've noted previously, a multitude of the heavenly host. This was not just angels. This was the heaven breaking out in praise and glory. Cherubim, seraphim. And if they celebrate, certainly we should. Yes, we don't know exactly the day, and we choose a day. But we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Glory to God in the highest. And the angels and the heavenly host have two points. Glory to God and peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to the God who saves sinners. And to us, the message of the gospel, peace. God's goodwill toward us. When we consider that in our sins we deserve God's bad will, because of our sins, God brings goodwill to us. And when the angels had got into heaven, the shepherds look at one another and say, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. What do the shepherds do? This really points us to our next point. The responses to the baby in the manger. Having heard and seen this awe-inspiring sight, they say, well, we had better go see then. I think far and beyond that, we're told that they made haste. They ran to find the Savior because, of course, as we've said, they would know these things in the back of their minds. Even if shepherds were, by the way, not exactly the cleanest crowd. So the shepherds went as quickly as possible, and they found it just as the angel had said. We see Mary and Joseph and the baby. And how do we respond? Having seen him, they made widely known that which was told them concerning the child. When they saw Jesus, they told everyone. They told him what the angels had said. And those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds had told them. What was their response? Those who heard this secondhand, they marveled at what the shepherds had told them. And we have Mary's response. She kept all these things in her heart. She thought about them. Both of those are important. the response of telling others, the response of thinking, considering, what did God do here? What has God done for us? Taking time to think on that. So often we as human beings think on our failures, on our sins. And we need to think on the Savior, the glorious Savior who came, who gave himself for us, to consider what he experienced, why he came to this world. We are not worthy, but Christ came because what? For God so loved the world. In God's love. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The promises that they knew from their childhood were fulfilled. The promise of God is yea and amen, is true. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, telling everybody that they came to the message of the Messiah, the Savior. They told, they praised God, they glorified God, because God had done what he promised. And we can be certain that God will come again, Jesus will come again, and that he will bring judgment and final glory to his people. The shepherds certainly had a lot of work to do when they got back. They left the sheep, right? I like one of the Christmas carols. Left them in what? Wind and storm and rain? Wasn't worried about that. Think about what we read not that long ago about the people who had the herd of swine that ran into the sea, and they were worried about the pigs. There are times to be worried about the things of God. And the shepherds understood that, because God has revealed to us the Savior. So how do we respond with Christmas? What do we do in Christmas? We get together with family. That's good and important. But where does Christmas go from there? Do we tell others? Do we send the gospel out, perhaps financially? What do we do with Christmas? Do we go to preach the gospel? We heard in our schedule in a few weeks, we're going to have a day of prayer and fasting for new pastors, because we need pastors to preach the gospel. We need missionaries to send the gospel to foreign lands. What do we do with Christmas? Christ came to save us. Are we telling others? Are we thinking on these things? Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who came in the humblest of circumstances. We thank you for the celebration of the heavenly host, which was brought again to shepherds, to those who are humble. And we praise you that our Savior came to this world to live, to suffer, to die for us. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would then be as the shepherds, with the message of salvation, with the message of glory, of God who does what he says and says what he does. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you came to this world that you need not be subject, but you were subject to the authorities all the way from Caesar through Pontius Pilate. And that you came here to sacrifice yourself in our place. We thank you for the shadow of the cross at this time of year on Christmas. We pray, Lord, that our response to that gospel would not be to hide it under a bushel, but to spread your good and awesome news. We pray, Lord, use us as a congregation, use us individually to bring your good news to a world which has heard of Christmas, most of them, but many of them don't know the depths of the wonder of a God who became one of us to save us from the judgment we deserve. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for that fact. We pray, Lord, bless us to be fountains of that news to a world that needs it. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.